Welcome. Our first presenter is Michael Mobley from Grand Canyon University. Turn it over to you.
Okay, yeah. So, again, great to see you all this afternoon. We get that started early. We got a few more people coming in. Again, I'm Mike Mobley. I'm executive director for our Office of Research and Innovation over at Grand Canyon University. That's essentially our grants and contracts office. But I'm a physical chemist by training with 20 years in industrial research and 20 years in academic research. And I'm pleased to be talking about something that doesn't really fall into the categories of any of those specifics. But we're going to talk about when was Jesus crucified, and the outline for our talk, and I'm going to be a little bit tethered to this here, is first of all, why is this question important? What evidence do we have to support a particular date? And then when should we be celebrating Easter? So that's the general outline. But why is it important? It's important to us as Christians, but should it be important to the world? First of all, Christianity is a historical religion, as we know. We testify to the reality of the life of Jesus of Nazareth, who lived and died at a specific time, a very historical reality. And we know that actually the death of Jesus is the most commemorated event in all of history. Each communion, we remember the sacrifice of Jesus. There's over 2 billion Christians in the world today, and they all remember regularly Jesus in this way. Remember, this tradition was handed down to us. We know it mostly from Paul in Corinthians chapter 11, who institutionalized the remembrance that we know of today. But looking further, throughout history, this has been recognized as an important event. Francis Bacon, one of the fathers of our modern science, he actually coined our English term that we use quite frequently today, and that is crucial, defining a critical element in an experiment or anything that we're dealing with. He actually drew that term from St. Augustine. St. Augustine in Latin used the term crucialis, pertaining to the cross of Christ. Augustine saw the cross of Christ was the pivot point in history. So that's emerged right into our own language, our English language. The reality of Christ and his death suggests that we should be able to identify those dates. I share somewhat disturbing data when you actually look at this. This is a recent Barna survey. And it finds that 10% of the people in our post-Christian U.S. culture actually don't believe Jesus ever lived. As we do have a commitment to truth, this reminds us that we have an obligation to our world to talk about the reality of the unparalleled life and death of Jesus of Nazareth. Why else is it important? And that is, the crucifixion dates the resurrection, the most significant event in history, certainly for us Christians. The crucifixion and resurrection is the highest common denominator in Christianity. Together, they're referred to by the theologians and those for many centuries as the redemption. When the debt for our sins was paid, and a holy God accepted that debt as payment by raising Christ from the dead. Again, Paul tells us that the Christian faith that we embrace rests upon the resurrection. Again, writing in 1 Corinthians 15, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is our faith. So the crucifixion and resurrection has been commemorated each year for nearly 2,000 years. In most traditions, this remembrance has been on Good Friday or Easter Sunday in different ecclesiastical calendars. So, is there a controversy? We're Christians. Of course there's a controversy. Yes, there are two most probable dates or most probable years, and that is AD 30 and AD 33. Tradition holds that AD 33 was the year of the crucifixion, and this view is held by most Catholic and Orthodox scholars. However, more recently, Protestant and evangelical scholars have suggested AD 30 as the possible date. So as we approach the 2000th millennial of the crucifixion and resurrection, this becomes an important question. What should we be remembering and how should we be celebrating? So which of these possible years is correct? So we're going to examine the scientific, historical, and biblical evidence and see what we come up with. Can we start with the birth of Jesus? When was the birth of Jesus? When was he born? Well, we've got some indications of the date. We have the biography in Matthew 2:1-6, and that Jesus was born at the time that Herod was king in Judea. Okay, so that being the approximate date, we know from historians that Herod was king from all the way up until 4 BC when he died. So that suggests the birth of Jesus was slightly before 4 BC, historians tell us, probably between 5 and 7 BC. So wasn't the year 2000 supposed to be the anniversary, 2000th anniversary of Jesus' birth? So how did we get that one wrong? We can blame a 6th century monk for that. And the monk was Dionysius Egesius, who was trying to establish the dates for Easter and estimated the date of Jesus' birth was 525 years previously on the Julian calendar. Recall at the time that the official civic calendar was the Roman calendar. So he pegged the date at December 25th, 753 AUC in the Roman civic calendar. And he probably established that being 33 years prior to the traditional year of the resurrection, 786 AUC. And recalling that if you look at the Gospels, it suggests that Jesus was about 33 years of age when he died. We have that because he began his ministry about 30 at the age of 30, and we have approximately 3 years or maybe slightly more associated with his ministries based upon the number of Passovers. Okay, so we have that approximation. Did he get one date wrong? Did he get both dates wrong? Again, you may be familiar, we didn't actually start using the term Anno Domini AD until about the 8th century. So, you know, we've been changing since then. Okay, what's right and what's wrong? What do we agree upon, all the theologians and the historians? First of all, that he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, who was procurator of Judea during that time. And we know from historical evidence that he was the ruler in Judea from 26 to 36 AD. And we have that from all four Gospels, and we've got that from secular historians like Tacitus and Josephus. So we also know from all four Gospels that the crucifixion was at the time of Passover, and all four Gospels tie the death of Jesus to the hours just before the Jewish Sabbath, just before nightfall on a Friday. So what can this analysis tell us about this? Well, first of all, the Jewish calendar is very useful to us in that matter. If you recall, the Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar. It's based upon a month of 29 and a half days, which means some of the days are, some of the months are 29 and some are 30. It becomes a bit of a challenge at times dating things on the Jewish calendar. But I should point out, the Jewish calendar being a lunar calendar was very significant to the Jews. Recall that that was handed to them through after the Exodus of Egypt, and there's special feasts and other things, particularly the Passover was tied to the lunar calendar. The Jews, unlike the peoples around them, First of all, the Egyptians worshiped the sun as a god. The Romans worshiped the sun as a god. The celestial bodies for the Jews were things to keep time by. The Jewish calendar represented their means of keeping time. Just remember the importance of that. And if we look at the possible dates based upon the Jewish calendar and when a Passover falls within this period of time, either the 14th or 15th of Nisan, we see that we have four possible dates. And I'm going to suggest that this is not original with me. I'm quoting Colin Humphreys and Graham Waddington's papers. It's actually fascinating to know that they actually presented their work first time in 1985 to an ASA conference. And ever since then, they've continued to publish in this area around the date of the crucifixion. From Luke 3:1, John the Baptist began his ministry in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. Tiberius became emperor with the death of Augustus Caesar, which we know very clearly was on August 19th, AD 14. Thus, the start of John's ministry had to be at earliest AD 28 or 29. So this eliminates in our analysis that we have the 27 AD date. Also, scholars conclude that 6 years is probably too long for Jesus's public ministry. And this would push the accepted timeline in the book of Acts and also the conversion of Paul too early. And therefore, this eliminates 36 AD. But I should also mention, this is where some of the controversy arises between these two dates. That is because some of our scholars push to an early date for the Council of Jerusalem. They push to a 48 AD date for that. And if you follow Paul's testimony in Galatians, he said he was converted 14 years before this council. That would suggest that Paul's conversion was in 34 AD. So a lot of scholars would say that's too early in a timeline for the crucifixion to be in 33 AD. The challenge there is other scholars say that the first council in Jerusalem possibly was as late as 51 AD. So to other scholars, this does not cause a particular problem. But in reality, this leaves two dates that most scholars are consciously aware of, say these are possible dates that have a lot of credibility to them. The most popular dates that we already talked about, but again, if we look at Luke 3, the earliest date for the start of Jesus' ministry would be AD 28. Again, John's gospel talks about three different Passovers. Therefore, it'd be very difficult if that's the time that Jesus started his ministry for him to be crucified in AD 30. This really leaves only AD 33 with sufficient evidence to be recognized as the possible year. And this, of course, is the traditional year that we've all converged upon. I should mention, also, when I talk about the traditional year, just this past December, Pope Francis declared 2033 as a jubilee for the Catholic Church. So they're getting prepared to recognize that as a celebration of the bimillennium. And I should mention, a lot of groups around the world are beginning to be conscious. We're just a little over 10 years from that date. And it's becoming, therefore, a very important celebration for us. So are there some other pieces of evidence that would help us discern between these different dates? I'm going to suggest that some of the events that were taking place in Rome just shortly around this time actually had some impact. Tiberius Caesar, who was the emperor at that time, had appointed his regent, Lucius Sejanus, as regent over the Roman Empire. He was the regent who appointed Pontius Pilate. Sejanus was also very much an anti-Semite, and you might recognize from the early years of Pilate's activity that he was very much in control of the Jews in Judea. But what we do recognize is there is a funny event here that takes place in the scriptures. And it's been hard to interpret by a lot of scholars. And I'm just going to remind us of it here. This is when Pilate was trying Jesus. And when he, after the scourge, he presents Jesus to the crowd. And the crowd yells out, you know, they're asking for him to be crucified. And it says, if you release this man, you're not a friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. Pilate, in previous years, this should not have made a difference to him. But why all of a sudden was he nervous about what the Jews were saying? And that's because his benefactor, Sejanus, was executed in 31 AD. And his position was very precarious with Tiberius Caesar. And so this was a flip-flop that he made over these years. So again, this was another piece of evidence that the year 33 AD is the actual year of the crucifixion. Another fascinating fact, again, this was from Colin Humphreys and Graham Waddington, is that there was a partial lunar eclipse on the night of the crucifixion, if that was in AD 33. And why this becomes fascinating is if you recall the sermon that Peter preached on Pentecost, when he makes this strange allusion to the prophet Joel, and he says, "And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, and blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day." He's making this allusion at Pentecost, is 49 days after, 50 days, it's like 51 days after the crucifixion, and pulls this allusion to something that they all may have witnessed, and that is a blood moon on the night of the crucifixion. So again, incidental, but another piece of evidence for that. I'm going to try and finish up very quickly. I guess I'm beginning to run out of time.
2 minutes. I've got plenty of time.
2 minutes here. These are the conclusions we have. The most likely dates for the crucifixion, Friday, April 3rd, AD 33. The resurrection on April 5th. And we have a Pentecost Sunday, May 24th, AD 33. But I said we ought to talk about what that means for our celebration of Easter. For the first 300 years, the celebration of Easter was mixed all over the Christian world. Some that had their experience with the Jewish tradition continued to celebrate the crucifixion on Nisan 14. These became known as, in Latin, the 14ers. They believe that was the date that dictated when you should be celebrating the crucifixion and Easter. But the Christian tradition started very early, also celebrating the first day of the week, the Sunday. And you guys all recognize that. That's why we actually have most of our Sunday services on Sunday, because Christians moved to that. And they began suggesting that they celebrate Easter every Sunday when they remember that. So those two traditions began to come up together. Well, there was a desire to bring some uniformity. That particularly happened in the, you know, with after Constantine. And the Council of Nicaea got together to come up with a formula that perhaps all Christians around the world could adopt and be useful to them. So they came up with the first formula, and that was the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the spring equinox, which at that time, in 325 AD, was March 22nd. And so we've been following that tradition and collaboration between the Eastern and Western churches for a long period of time until 1582. That's when that broke apart. And you may be familiar, that's when the Western world, the Western church adopted the Gregorian calendar as opposed to the Julian calendar, which was maintained by the Eastern church. Ever since then, we've had, at times, separate celebrations of Easter off the same formula. Again, maybe scientifically you remember the reason for that. The day is, the year is not actually 365 days and a quarter days, slightly off of that. And every 100 years, you have to subtract one day from the calendar to keep the months and the days lined up. Under the Gregorian calendar, we did that. Under the Julian calendar, you did not. Therefore, there happened to be a gap. The Eastern churches maintained that. They lost 10 days by doing that. I should remind you, in 1582, the Western world got rid of 10 days. Very satanic, if you will. That's the way it was viewed. You guys remember the Lutherans thought that that was a satanic thing. Just stealing 10 days out of people's lives, you know, that the Pope had done. But anyhow, going on to that, that's been the barrier ever since between the two areas. The Eastern Church continues to use the Julian calendar. However, is there a formula that can possibly reconcile these both together? I should point out that in the year 2025 will be the 17th 100th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea. The reason that's important, there's actually discussions going on between the Eastern and Western churches around, again, coming together and discussing and the learning about that and celebrating the celebration. With that, there may be an opportunity to reconcile the two churches in the dating of Easter. And I propose one possibility here, and that might align with both the Eastern and Western churches. It's one where you abandon any ecclesiastical calendar and go to a strictly astronomical calendar. And the calendar is for Easter, the first Sunday after the first Saturday. We'll define Saturday as 12 a.m. Jerusalem time, after the first full moon, after the spring equinox. Now, how does that resolve things? The problem primarily in the Eastern Church is they've defined the spring equinox as the 22nd of March. And that date doesn't, you recognize that can be a problematic. Okay, so these are some of the things I wanted to share with you. A few websites that began to talk about the celebration of the bimillennial. I passed out, actually, cards for most people. There is a corporate prayer being developed and shared around called the Bimillennial Prayer. It's a prayer that basically prays back to the Lord, John 17, the words of John 17, making it our personal prayer. Sorry.
Let's thank Michael for a wonderful time.
Mine's quite quick. Yeah, so you brought up the lunar eclipse, a partial lunar eclipse. I thought it was interesting because I thought we'd be looking for a solar eclipse.
That's a misconception. For a lot of years, people thought the wording around the darkening was a solar eclipse. We recognize Passover's at the full moon. You know, so you can't have a solar eclipse at a full moon.
Well, I asked that because Julius Africanus points this out. The Stabilist tries to paint the story, tries to do that. They solar eclipse, that's why they're starting. So Julius Africanus says, no,
it's been in history, they've interpreted the darkening and other things like that and the passage, but it's impossible to have a solar eclipse at full moon.
Right.
Which is that. But, again, Colin Humphreys looked into this and said, wait a minute, we've got the opposite. We've got a lunar eclipse going on at the same time. And so that's how, we've learned that.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Who was it that was trying to claim that the prediction about the moon turning to blood and the sun to darkness meant that the world was going to end about 4 years ago when we had four lunar eclipses? Somebody was
familiar with the dialogue, but I didn't keep up with that very much.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was that was claiming it, but I had encountered the name before as a not terribly reliable.
Okay, people suggesting that blood moons mean something within the Jewish culture. That is true. And the lunar calendar is very important to the Jewish community. You probably heard me say there has been discussions afoot to remove the celebration of Easter from the Jewish calendar at all in Passover. There's discussions within the Anglican Communion in England to move it to the second Sunday of April. I just share with you, that would never go with the Eastern and Western churches. And my personal view is there's a value to keeping Easter associated with the Passover just because of the commonality and the recognition of the origin of that. And if you look at the crucifixion, it's tied to the Passover. It's very clear. Thank you.